I want to affirm what Elder Philip prayed, that as we see how our young adults serve us in planning for the Jubilee banquet, let us affirm them for the positive things that is happening. So let's have this church culture. If you want to look for mistake, there will always be mistakes. So instead, let's look for something positive and just encourage them, just like the way they plan for our Jubilee Family Fun Day, and as well as our Jubilee Banquet. Anyway, I want you to turn to one another and say, I will see you this Friday in church for our prayer meeting. Turn to one another and say that. So make sure you keep your promise, huh? This Friday, see you in church. This Friday, our prayer focus will be on the young adults, and they will lead us in the prayer meeting. We are continuing our sermon series on the book of Joshua, and today we're looking at chapter 6, When the Task Seems Too Big. For 28 years, the Berlin Wall stands as the symbol of separation between Eastern Europe and Western Europe, between communism and the free world. This 28-mile-long concrete wall was built in 1961 to lock in East Germans, lest they be tempted by the freer life west of the world. Those of you who are my generation, when we were young adults at that time, we can remember this Berlin Wall. This wall of shame claimed about 75 lives, at least 75 people, who had tried to escape from Eastern Europe into the West. But at the stroke of midnight on November the 9th, 1989, thousands of people had gathered on both sides of the Berlin Wall. And they came together, they let out a roar and started going through it as well as climbing over it. And there was celebration. They tooted the trumpets and they danced on the top of the wall. They brought out their hammers and chisels and whack away at the symbol of imprisonment, knocking loose chunks of concrete and then waving triumphantly before television cameras. The East German policemen watched all that happened. At first, they watched with detached amusement, but later on, with undisguised glee, as Western journalists and cameramen asked the East German policeman, for example, one reporter asked him, "Are you happy?" And the young guy broke into white green, and then he tried to hide his green by turning his back. At various crossing points across the city of Berlin, police guards laughed and talked with passers-by. All signs of the totalitarian past were gone. No more checking of identity papers when people cross between the two sides of the city. There was cheering and there was clapping and weeping. And so for the first time after many years, they celebrated the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And yet the amazing thing was that only 9 months earlier, the president of East Germany, Erich Honecker, had vowed that the Berlin Wall would stand firm for the next 100 years. But 9 months later, it collapsed. Political analysts attributed the collapse of the Berlin Wall to the reforms inspired by Mikhail Gorbachev, the then president of the Soviet Union. But somehow, I have the inkling and that the Berlin Wall crumbled because of the faithful prayers. Many of us, at that time, we were praying for the breakdown of the Iron Curtain. I believe it is because of the prayers of Christians all over the world that the wall finally collapsed. Our passage for this morning tells another true story of how a seemingly impregnable wall crumbled at the feet of God's people so that they can go in and possess the promised land with all its blessings. as God had commanded them. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants you and me to enjoy His blessings in our life as Christians and as a church. But there are many obstacles, many hindrances, roadblocks in our way that prevent us from fully enjoying God's blessing. And this morning, as we listen to His Word, I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us and remove the roadblocks in our life that may prevent us from enjoying God's full blessing. You see, the wall of Jericho in our lives, brothers and sisters, must crumble first before we can go in and possess the promised land and all the blessings God intends for us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to Your Word this morning, we open our hearts and minds to the promptings of Your Holy Spirit. Break down any walls or roadblocks that are preventing us from fully obeying You and enjoying Your blessings. For our Lord Jesus' sake, amen. There are moments in life, brothers and sisters, when God calls us to face something that feels far beyond our strength. A wall that is too high, a burden too heavy, a calling that may be a bit demanding, a situation that seems too impossible. And this is exactly where Israel was at when we come to Joshua chapter 6. Having crossed the overflooded Jordan River, they now face the city of Jericho, a fortified city with towering walls shut tightly against them. Humanly speaking, it was impossible. Israel had no siege engines, no military advantage, no strategy that makes sense. And yet, God was about to teach His people a powerful lesson. And that is, the size of the obstacle is never greater than the power of God. And perhaps some of us this morning, we are standing before our own Jericho, a family situation that seems impossible, a ministry challenge beyond our ability, a burden we feel unqualified to carry, a future that seems and feel uncertain, a calling that seems too overwhelming. And so Joshua chapter 6 reminds us that when the task seems too big, God is not looking for our strength first. He's looking for our obedience, our perseverance, and our unity. And so from the experience of the Israelites in Joshua's day in chapter 6, we learn the steps that we need to take when God gives us a task that seems too big for us to handle. So if you follow along the outline in your bulletin, steps to take when the task seems too big. Firstly, we must proceed as the Lord so directs. Verses 1 to 11. Before God told His people what to do, He gave them the assurance of victory. God said to Joshua, "I have given Jericho into your hand." And the tense of the Hebrew verb give is the prophetic perfect tense, describing a future event as if it had already happened. Have they taken over Jericho yet? Not yet. But God said, "I have given Jericho into your hand." A future action as if it had already happened. You see, brothers and sisters, the victorious Christian life is the same. We are assured of victory because Jesus Christ, our commander-in-chief, had already won the battle and defeated the enemy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in His death on the cross, overcame Satan. The devil thought that he won when Christ was crucified on the cross, but that was the beginning of the devil's defeat. And then later on, through His resurrection and ascension, our Lord Jesus broke through the territory that the devil controls. And therefore, as his church, we are commanded to go forth and besiege some modern Jericho. We go forth already assured of the victory. After assuring them of victory, God then gave instructions to Joshua and the Israelites as to how they are to conquer Jericho. And so we read from verses 3 to 7. Let me read verse 3 to 7. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and its 7 priests, bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. You see, the conquest of a fortified city in ancient times was a major challenge. And there were different ways of taking a fortified city, capturing it. Sometimes we see it in movies. One way is to bring, you know, hundreds of long ladders and then put a crest across the walls. And then those brave, daring soldiers will just climb up the stairs all around the wall, all over the wall. And many of them will probably die. The casualty will be very great. So there's one way, having ladders over the walls and trying to climb over the walls and get soldiers into the city. Another way is by digging tunnel under the wall. And that's why some fortified cities have moats around it, water around it. So it's very difficult to take tunnel below the moat. But that's one way anyway. And another way is by smashing down the gate, the iron gate at the front of the city with battering rams. And again, this can create a lot of casualty for the attacking force. Another way is by laying siege of the city until it's starved into submission. And this probably takes several months, maybe a year or so. And of course, by some sort of scheme or ploy, like the use of the wooden horse, as we read in how the Greek tried to conquer the city of Troy by putting soldiers into the wooden horse and then getting into the city. And when the soldiers are drunk, the men in the wooden horse will come out and take over the city. So these are different ways of taking an ancient city. But what God just instructed Joshua and the Israelites to do was against all conventional wisdom. It seems senseless, at least from the human perspective. You don't conquer a well-fortified city by merely just marching around it. You don't do that. And that was exactly what God asked his people to do. They were to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and every time remaining silent. In your CG discussion questions, I have one question for you. Why did God ask them to remain silent when they were marching around the city? Okay, I won't tell you the answer. Maybe next week I'll tell you, but you discuss and find out what is the reason. You probably will get the correct answer. So they were to remain silent, marching around the city. And then on the 7th day, they were to march around the city 7 times. And then at the end of which, the priest will blow the ram's horn with a long blast. And then the people were to shout, a loud shout. And the city of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, will come tumbling down. So that was God's instruction to his people. From a military perspective, it makes no sense. But victory would not come through human wisdom. It would come through trusting God completely. Sometimes God's instruction to us in our life as we face our modern Jerichos do not match human logic. For example, God tells us, forgive the person when we want revenge. It doesn't make sense, but God said, forgive nonetheless. Or when God said to us, give when our own resources are limited. Give generously, God said, but we have limited resources. Or serve when you are feeling tired. Or wait when we want immediate answers. Or step forward before we see any outcome. You see, faith means obeying God even when we don't fully understand his methods. And so Joshua and the people of Israel, they proceeded as the Lord so directed, exactly to those instructions, not adding to God's command or subtracting from it. You see, many battles are lost not because God failed, but because the people of God refuse to follow his instructions fully. We may obey God, but not all the way, not fully. When the task seems too big, we do not need a better strategy first. We need obedient hearts first. The central feature of the procession of the Israelites marching around the city of Jericho was the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And it was mentioned 10 times in this chapter. Someone after the first service fact-checked me, you know, and he used AI, and he said, Pastor, you are right. It was 10 times. So 10 times, the Ark of the Covenant was mentioned. And the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes the presence of God. You see, God was with his people in the very midst of them. That was their strategy. That was God's strategy for them. They did not have to know exactly what God was doing. All that was necessary was for them to know that God was with them. Every time they marched around the city, God's presence through the Ark of the Covenant was with them. God was marching round the city of Jericho every time they followed his instruction. Isn't it a comforting thought, brothers and sisters, as we go about doing God's work, to know that God is with us as we follow his commandments? This reminds me of our Lord Jesus in his great commission to the disciples, which includes you and me, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. This is what Jesus promises. All authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And then what did Jesus promise us? And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That is Jesus' assurance to us, just like God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 6. So let's see how the Israelites responded to the Lord's directives. Joshua chapter 6, verse 8 to 11. And so just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, and then you shall shout." And so he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. So this is the first day. So we see the Israelites proceeded as the Lord so directed them. It is important that we remember to do God's work in His way, in the way He instructs, not according to our own human wisdom. And this reminds me of the verse that many of us memorize, Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, you know, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The Old King James Version said, and He shall direct your paths. The conquest of Jericho demanded the obedience of faith. And it must be obedience without questioning. God rarely explains His commands in advance. He simply asks us to believe Him and to step out in faith. If God always gives us an explanation ahead of time as to what He was going to do, that will rob us of the opportunity to trust Him. Because if we can figure everything out in our human brain, there's no need for trust really. Christian obedience is not based on knowledge of what is going to happen or why a particular method is the best one to follow. We simply obey God and proceed as He so directs. What God says is sufficient. You see, God still gives us direction in His word today as to how we are to meet the Jerichos of our life, the challenges of our lives. And His directions sometimes may seem absurd according to human logic. But if we have faith, we will obey His directions. We will proceed as the Lord so directs. But obedience is not only about starting well. So that is the first point. The real challenge often comes in continually obeying God faithfully, when nothing seems to be changing. And this brings us to our second point. Persevere in obeying the Lord's command. Verses 12 to 27. So let's see how the Israelites responded to God's instruction. Chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Covenant, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned into the camp, and so they did it for 6 days. That is perseverance. As the Israelites follow God's strange instruction by marching around the city the first day, they could see nothing happening to the formidable strong walls of Jericho. At the end of the first day march, nothing happened to the wall of Jericho, not even a hairline crack. Neither was there any crack on the wall on the second day or the third day, or the fourth day, or the sixth day, or the seventh day, as they marched around it 6 times, and then they were marching around it 7 times. Nothing happened to the wall. Each time they marched around the city and returned to the camp, the walls of the city of Jericho were still standing tall. Nothing happened to it. Do you sometimes feel, brothers and sisters, when it comes to doing what God has asked you to do, do you feel like that sometimes? Perhaps some of you have been praying for your loved ones for many years, but nothing seems to happen. And that has discouraged you so much that you have stopped praying for the salvation of your loved ones. or your prayers are at best sporadic and half-hearted, maybe bordering a bit of unbelief. Learn from the Israelites. Persevere in obeying the Lord's instruction. For when the task is completed, you will see the results. The tightly shut gate of Jericho is symbolic of the condition of our world today, with its systems of thought and philosophies of life tightly shut against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ has to contend with the strongholds in this evil, sinful world. Ideologies, superstition, idolatry in our society, and in more recent time, the woke ideology, which is lawlessness. And all this, the Church of Jesus Christ had to contend with. People are deeply rooted in the radical tendencies of human nature, and of course, in the traditional customs of past generations. And it is against these things that you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, must face as we seek to extend the kingdom of God. And so, like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we are fighting a spiritual war, destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So that is our task, our strategy, that we are to take every thought captive. So we go not in our own strength, but through what Christ has done for us with the help of the Holy Spirit. And these spiritual strongholds in people's life are not going to come down through our token prayers offered every now and then. It will not happen. Our token prayer, that's why you have heard me say as your pastor this past 10 years here, that as a church, we must really answer God's call to pray. And our prayer meeting every month is, in a sense, a symbol of whether we really believe God or we use our human strategies. And these spiritual strongholds will only fall when God's people will push. That means pray until something happens. This is perseverance. Don't pray and then give up, but pray until something happens. God is saying to us today, let us not grow weary in doing good, because in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That means if we persevere. So, brothers and sisters, is your unfruitful life due to the fact that you have given up too soon because you do not persevere? I believe God made the Israelites march around the city of Jericho 13 times in 7 days. It's because he wanted them to be impressed. He wanted to impress upon them how utterly humanly impossible it is for them to take the city of Jericho. So the first day when they marched around, and then the second day, and the sixth day, and on the seventh day, having marched around with 6 times already, it dawned on them that it is humanly impossible. They have no choice but to trust God. I believe that's one reason. God wants them to know that it's not human strategy, it's not human strength that will take down the wall of Jericho. Another reason I believe God made the Israelites march around the city for 7 days was to give Rahab the time to gather her family into the house. Remember chapter 2, when she was asked to tie a scarlet rope down the window of a house on the wall of the city of Jericho. And then some people, when they come to verse 21, let me read verse 21, and then they devoted all the city to destruction both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. So later on, when the city of Jericho collapsed, it was utter destruction, except all those in the house of Rahab. And so some people, maybe some Christians, even will read this or say, God is not fair. But in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab tells us that the Canaanites had already known about the God of Israel for at least 40 years of wandering in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt, how God helped them to defeat the two kings in the wilderness. And then the past few days, God has seen, the people of Jericho has seen how God miraculously brought them over the river Jordan. And there was time for the people to repent. So I believe these 7 days of marching around the city, God was giving the people of Jericho a chance to respond to Rahab's invitation to come into her house and be safe from the destruction. This reminds me of what Peter said in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but he is patient to you, towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the hardest tests of faith in obeying God when results are not immediately visible. That's a very hard thing to continue to trust God. And though many people quit just before the breakthrough, just before the restoration, just before God moves in a miraculous way, many people quit just before the wall comes tumbling down. But faith perseveres. God often works in ways we cannot see. Every march matters. Every step we take matters. Every act of obedience matters. Sometimes we think the breakthrough happens suddenly, but often God has been working all along, and every step of obedience matters. And God's timing is always perfect. But there's yet one more beautiful truth emerging from this chapter, and that is God never intended his people to fight alone. And this brings us to our third and final point. Partner with others in doing God's will, verses 12 to 27. In the conquest of Jericho, let me submit to you that the real battle is not with the Canaanites. Rather, it is with God's own people, the Israelites. The real battle is not with the Canaanites. You see, all the marching, all the blowing of the ram's horn trumpets, all the shouting were not necessary to knock down the walls of Jericho. It's not as if God is frantically, you know, collecting all his energy and resources so that, you know, at the right note, crescendo, then the wall of Jericho come tumbling down. You know, God just needs to speak and the walls will collapse. In the same manner, he created the world and bring the whole universe into existence. The real battle of Jericho was with the human heart, not with the walls of Jericho. God was seeking to win over the total submission of his people rather than the military strength of the Canaanites. God was seeking to subdue his people to himself, to bind them with cords of love and faith. I believe in the same manner, God's power and resources are not limited to what you and I can offer him, whether it's our time, our life, our wisdom, our money. You see, the real battle is not the obstacles that we face as we go about doing God's work. Whether it is persecution that's still happening in many countries in the world today, or whether it's government restrictions, or the lack of resources for us as a church to build a proper church building. See, the real battle we face in doing God's work, in fulfilling God's will, is our human heart. For if our hearts are fully surrendered to the Lord, we can overcome any obstacles, resources, human or otherwise. We can overcome any obstacles. Church history tells us that persecution doesn't stop the church. In fact, it is during persecution, church history tells us, that the church grew at a faster rate. What about government restrictions? If we are fully committed to the Lord, we wouldn't use restrictions as excuses for not doing what God asks us to do, to preach the gospel. Instead, we will depend on the Spirit and we are creatively, as the Spirit leads us and prompts us, use new ways, especially through building relationship with people, earning the right to proclaim the gospel to them. So that is the way. And no government restriction will stop us from doing that when we meet the needs of the people in our community or in our focus country. And so God wanted his people to follow the instructions he has given to them through the leaders. And so they work together. That's why I put this third point, a partner with others in doing God's will. The priests carry the Ark of the Covenant, seven priests carrying the ram horn and blowing, and the soldiers with the sword or their spears in their hand, marching together. And then on the final day, the people shouted together. God's work is often accomplished through his people working together. No one person can claim credit for Jericho. And so, brothers and sisters, the same is for us today. Families need unity. Churches need partnership. Ministries need cooperation. So as a church, our ministries are not in silo, but we cooperate together. And this year, I can see that, you know, through our Family Fun Day and coming up to our Jubilee banquet, we see our church working together and to the care and share. And this is a beautiful testimony of what a church can do when we come together. Believers need one another. When the task seems too big, isolation becomes dangerous. The enemy loves to divide, to discourage, to isolate God's people, to set them against one another. But there is strength when believers come together to pray, when they serve together, they affirm one another instead of criticizing, and when they walk together in faith. Some walls will only come down when God's people move together in obedience to God's direction. And so the Israelites marched around the city. It was a united and orderly march. There was no disorderly riot encompassing the city of Jericho. That's one of the reasons why they were to keep silent. No disorderly riot. Like you see nowadays, in many cities around the world, disorder and lawlessness, none of that sort. Rather, there was a sense of unity and harmony as each group played their part. Everyone played their proper part. And so Joshua and the Israelites obeyed God's order right to the very end. Everyone playing their part. And so verse 20 tells us, and so on the seventh day, having marched around the city 13 times in 7 days, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall of Jericho came tumbling down. So the secret to the success was not Joshua's military genius, nor was it the skills of the army of Israel in terms of warfare or strategy. And sometimes you read some commentator, they will say, oh, marching around is helping, is causing the people in Jericho psychologically nervous, all those things. All those are nonsense. God just asked them to obey him. And you just follow his instruction. No military strategy in there. The strategy is obey God fully without questioning. Victory comes because Joshua, the leader, and the people of Israel fully trusted God and obey to the dot his specific instructions, his commandments. And that's how the wall of Jericho came down. Let me invite Pastor Tiffany and her worship team come back on stage as we prepare our hearts to respond to the word of God. Let's stand, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to sing the response song and prepare our hearts to let's respond to God's word. So, brothers and sisters, let us recognize that the task before us, no matter how insurmountable or overwhelming, are not impossible with God's guidance. When the Lord directs us, even the impossible becomes possible. So today I urge you to trust the Lord, obey Him completely, just as Joshua and the Israelites did. Obedience is not always easy, but it is absolutely necessary. Let's persevere in doing what God called us to do. Don't give up. Don't be weary in doing good. Let's persevere until we see results. And remember, we are not doing it alone. We need one another. You and I need one another. Don't think that the weakest among us, we don't need them. The weakest among us, we need them more. So let us together, let me invite you as a church, as we sing this song in response, devote ourselves, surrender ourselves to God once again and fulfill the impossible task that God has set before us in our lives and for us as a church to win this community in Pasir Ris to the Lord. Let's sing this song in response.